Well, let's move on to our final pericope, which is in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36, the RCL passage for November 28th, which is Advent 1. Ted, please read it for us.
Verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told that as Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man.
As he talked about in the introduction, Ted, Advent is a beautiful, sacred time of anticipating the arrival of Jesus. As someone who talks and teaches about Christian counseling, I'm just curious, why is hopeful expectation, in particular Advent, good for the human psyche?
Well, one of the greatest needs that we have as human beings is hope. And yeah, a little hard to put your finger on that. It's not like saying one of our greatest needs is to eat food, which that's included. And there are a lot of people who are without food and have a hope that that will change. Because hope gives you the ability to face today with all of its difficulties and struggles and trials, understanding that there's a better time coming. There's a resolution and an end to the suffering. And certainly a lot of psychological research has confirmed that if you take hope away from the person, the results psychologically are devastating. That's why people need the gospel, because it's good news and is the source of great hope. And sadly, there's a lot of people who have had hope ripped from them in even the last several months, in the last year or so with the COVID pandemic, various kinds of mental illnesses, especially anxiety disorders, have increased rapidly, especially among adolescents, young adults. People need hope, not pie in the sky, false promises, but hope based on reality. And for us, that's the reality of Jesus Christ and all that he is and all that he does and will do. And that hope is engendered by declaring the gospel. And the gospel is hope for the hopeless. And it tells us of that balm in Gilead, as is mentioned in the Old Testament, that does heal the sin-sick soul. And that hope is declared in a powerful way via the season of Advent and also throughout the whole Christian year. For the liturgy of the Christian year tells the story of Jesus. And that is what the hopeless need to hear, because he is truly a source of hope, the source of hope, because he is the one bringing the ultimate solutions to the things with which we struggle.
Yeah. Viktor Frankl did amazing work. You probably read some of his writings. Ted, but he worked with people who experienced the terribleness of the Holocaust. Right. And one of the things he discusses is how those who could in some form or fashion have hope that was grounded in some way to their experience had a way of surviving the most awful types of circumstances. Yes. Not that they were thriving or flourishing. No one could in that event. However, hope is powerful.
It is.
And thanks be to God that our hope has a name and that it's embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And as you said earlier, we can take that to the bank. The Son of Man will appear again, Ted. I mean, Amen. We've been talking about this. The pericope tells us that people will faint with fear. What's going on here? Should we be frightened by the appearance of the Son of Man?
How sad that we'll be frightened by the very thing that removes fear and by the very person who so often said, do not fear, do not fear. But there's a lot of fearful things in this world. You know, this passage in Luke, which parallels one in Matthew and Mark, focuses largely on warning people of the destruction that was going to be coming on Jerusalem and did come in 70 AD. And Jesus was certainly giving them forewarning of a terrible destruction that would be wrought on the Jewish populations by the Roman army. And people really did have reason to fear that. It's important to note that this passage also, like its counterparts in Mark and Matthew, are written in what's called apocalyptic language, or a genre of literature known as apocalypse, which was commonly used among Jews and used in various parts of the Old and New Testaments both. And it's full of imagery and fantastical metaphors, not meant to be taken literally, but to be understood in a poetic sense. And what we are to understand is that the people of God in all times and places are to be on guard, or put another way, to be alert, to not get sidetracked, to not let their hearts be weighed down by worry and fear and trouble. And of course, that's a great challenge when, as a follower of Jesus, you're faced with great calamity. There are so many things that are sources of trouble and worry and fear in our world today. And so it's easy to get sidetracked. And it's easy to find confidence in Jesus being replaced by fearfulness. Certainly seen that a lot recently in the coronavirus pandemic. And we've seen it through the course of Christian history. And I see it today in a fearfulness that is a real head scratcher to me. And I'm not trying to distance myself from others who have fear, because I have my own fears. But let's not buy into conspiracy theories. Let's rely on the truth that is Jesus, and act in accordance with the new ways of his kingdom in this world, rather than the ways of some other kingdom. That's not easy. I acknowledge that. And this passage in this very vivid apocalyptic language really just forewarns us throughout human history from that point going forward that there will be very difficult times, but you can trust and rely on Jesus coming. And he is coming now, as I mentioned before, and he is indeed coming in the future. And in that future coming, we'll put an end to all the things that we fear so much, all of the evil. As my friend Gary Detta likes to say, evil has no future because of Jesus. And ultimately, it's his return in glory at the end of this age, in which that will be seen, will be revealed fully. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus. I was reading excerpts from Walter Brueggemann's book, Prophetic Imagination, and yes, one of the quotes, and I'll just paraphrase it because I don't remember it identically, but he was saying, when we live according to our fears and our hates, we live small lives, diminished lives, where we don't trust in the generosity of God. And yeah, I think that's a warning for us that yes, comes through loud and clear through this passage. And the passage exhorts us, Ted, to be on guard and to be alert. So what do you want our audience of teachers and preachers in the church to consider when exegeting these statements?
Well, I would hope that we, as followers of Jesus, who frequently are beset by calamities, troubles, fearful events, would not respond in fear, but would do as Jesus admonished his followers there in verse 28, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. When you're fearful, when you have hope taken away, what do? You look down, you're downcast. And the role of preachers is to help people to lift their eyes to Jesus by proclaiming who he is, his truth, his promises, and even his admonitions and his warnings with respect to not allowing troubles to send us into fearfulness, where we're cast down and begin to draw away and lose our trust in Christ. Yes, Christ is coming again, but he has come, and he is here now. And that coming is a continuous coming, and we need to rely on that, and so that we would not be driven by fear, but rely on him. But remember this. Jesus has promised that he would never leave us, never forsake us. And he promised, and he does, send the Spirit, the Comforter, our Advocate, our Teacher. And so the message for us to preach is look to Jesus, trust him, join him in the prayers he is praying about your situation to the Father. Follow Jesus forward. Walk in the Spirit. God will lead you moment by moment through this present distress. You can make it. You will make it in Christ.
Ted, as we wrap up our time together, I wish I'd ask you this question on the front end as we were introducing the podcast, but I'll ask it now.
Sure.
If we could explore the Christian calendar together for just a moment. Sure. We are transitioning during this podcast from ordinary time to Advent, and Christmas is soon to come. I would like for you to just speak a few moments about the rhythms of the Christian calendar and how valuable they are to us as the church to think in terms of these seasons and the rhythms that come along with the Christian calendar.
Yeah, the great value to me of the Christian calendar is it places us, as you said, in a rhythm. And with respect to the worship of the church, it gives an outline to follow that ensures through the course of the year we are traveling Jesus' story. We are traveling with Jesus through all of the events of his life, past and present and future. And that keeps our worship Christ-centered, and as I like to say, Christ-centered and gospel-shaped, because the gospel is the story, the narrative of Jesus. And, you know, I think that it's important to recognize that as human beings, we are creatures of habit. That's the way we've been created. We tend to focus on those things that come to us in cycles, repetitive cycles, so that it's sort of ingrained in us and written on our hearts and our minds. And the Christian calendar is designed to do just that. Under the Old Covenant, Israel was given a series of worship events to keep them in mind of the Exodus and the great things that God had done for Israel. And in like manner, in the Christian church, we celebrate those great events of Jesus that by which we are his people, we are formed as his church, we are called and directed to walk with Jesus, and we do that remembering who Jesus is, what he has done, what he will yet do. And the Christian calendar just keeps us mindful of all of that and shapes our thinking as individuals and certainly shapes our worship collectively in community. Great value.
Well, that's a good word to end on. Thank you, Ted. You are a beloved child of God, and you matter to all of us. Thank you for being with us on Gospel Reverb. And as is our tradition, we like to invite our guests to pray over our church, our preachers, our teachers, our lay people. Just ask a blessing during this season of winding down ordinary time and moving into Advent. Would you do that for us, please, Ted?
Sure. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our King and Prophet and High Priest, thank you so much for being who you are and for revealing yourself to us, and through you revealing the Father and the Spirit. And to know you, the triune God, is such a great blessing. There's so much for us to understand. So much of it is beyond our capability, but Lord, we trust you to reveal to us exactly who Christ is, who the Father is, who the Holy Spirit is, and all that that means for us. And I thank you, Christ, that through the Spirit you have formed the church, you have called your people, your disciples, to follow you, and in doing so, to carry your message, the gospel, to the world. And I thank you for the congregations of our fellowship. I thank you for those who minister as pastors and teachers, as worship leaders, others leading key ministries. Lord, I just lift them up to you for your blessing. We're about to enter into a new cycle of worship, a new calendar year, beginning with Advent. And I pray, Lord, as they gather to plan worship, that you'll guide and direct their thinking, that you'll keep them focused on the reason for the calendar at all, which is Jesus Christ. May they, through their worship and music and in prayer and in preaching and in the sacraments, exalt you, Christ, lift you up as the Lord and Savior that you are. May they be helpful to your children, your people, to fix their eyes on you, to lift up their heads and their hands and their hearts in worshiping you, joining you in the worship of the Father through the Spirit. Lord, let us not, in this season, which can become very busy, lose our focus on you. Let us not be distracted. There are so many distractions in this world. Lord, keep us in your will. Keep us in your purposes. Keep us faithful to your mission. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.